Reading now from the 13th chapter of the book of John. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said, "One who is bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, he put on his robe and had returned to the table. And he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who has sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. Little children, I am with you only a little while longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we pray. Oh Lord, this has been for you a week of bright lights, but now we enter the shadows. We dare to ask to be in your presence tonight and tomorrow too. So give us courage and help us to be honest and allow us to love you and one another as we also have been loved. In your name we pray. Amen. Just another night in Jerusalem. Probably not much warmer than it is tonight. Perhaps palm branches shiver in a breeze. Stars shine coldly overhead. The air is fragrant, not altogether pleasing prospect in that ancient city. And the streets are quieter than normal. It is Passover, and pious Jews have gathered to remember their deliverance. When Margaret and I attended seminary in Evanston, we used to ride the elevated train, quite frequently to downtown Chicago. It was an interesting ride because the L runs right beside apartment buildings, and you can see right inside to what's going on. And you try not to look, but after a while, it's so interesting, it gets the better of you, and you just can't ignore those little domestic scenes that are going on. It would have been interesting to ride through Jerusalem on that night, sneaking peeks at different families' celebration of the Seder, the Holy Passover meal. Some houses would have been marked with sorrow, that's the way of the world, and others joy. We would find piety and indifference, hope, despair, holiness, wickedness, and everything in between. Of course, there is one particular room that attracts our attention on this evening in Jerusalem. We look inside, what do we see? What do we see? We see a slave dressed only in a poor robe, a towel around his waist, washing the feet of the guests. It's not quite clear why the slave is doing the job, nor why he has waited to wash everyone's feet one after the other. It's a woman's work, and better done modestly, that is, without an audience. Then again, if a female is unavailable, a man will do, and of course, a slave it must be. So never mind the pious words that you've heard in Scripture tonight. Look into the window, and this is what you see. A slave washes the feet of the guests. And you will notice, if you are perceptive, that the guests are distinctly uncomfortable with the situation. Maybe they don't like having a man touch their dirty feet. Who knows? You like having your feet handled by others? I know some of you have had your feet washed in this church before. I've experienced it too. How did it feel? It's a little bit uncomfortable, isn't it? Well, these guests are distinctly uncomfortable, and having lived with the story for a while, we know the reason why. It is not so much Jesus' new commandment, you shall love one another as I have loved you, that gets under their skin, because Jesus has been laying that shtick on them for a couple of years, and something must have penetrated those thick heads by then. No, the scandal is not that the disciples were called to submit to one another in love, but that the Master, their Lord and Rabbi, desired to be the slave of all. For heaven's sake, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. Poor, silly old Peter. Never could keep quiet, could he? Then again, he often has the nerve to say the thing that we're thinking and can't quite get out of our mouths. And be honest about it. Think about it. Wouldn't you rather ladle out soup to some needy person than have that soup served to you? Offer forgiveness rather than receive it? Wouldn't you rather... Forgive the image. Wouldn't you rather clean the bedpans than ask to use one? I don't know that if it is better to give than to receive, but I do know that giving is a whole lot easier on the ego than receiving will ever be. And what if, just to make the situation truly intolerable, the one who asks to serve you is someone whom you love and respect above everyone else, someone that you want to please, someone whose opinion matters more to you than anything in the world. And she says, he says, in our Lord's case, let me touch your weakness, your faults, your dark secrets, your fear, your pain. Nothing will stop my loving you. My love can make you whole, and you will love as I have loved you. Would you take that risk? Admit your need. Open your heart. Would you accept God's love? Ah, just another night in Jerusalem. Let us be together in prayer. O Lord, we marvel at your love. How is it that our God has come to be the slave of all? That the Creator of life should be betrayed and killed upon a cross? We thank you, Lord, that we have been called to live in this mystery and to share your love in the world. Tonight, we pray for those who are betrayed, for those who have no hope, for those who have lost their faith, for those who do not know that they are loved.